Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. I'm PJ Doran, and this week on Pit Pass, we have racer Cameron Beaubier, the flying man that he is. Pit Pass Moto is sponsored by Moto America, the very series that Cam Beaubier races in. We had a wonderful start to our 2020 season at Road America some week and a half ago. And we will be returning to Road America with fans this time at the month's end, here at the end of the month of June. So if you didn't catch any of those races, get out to any number of viewing options that Moto America provides for you. You can catch them live, of course, online at Moto America Live Plus. There's also MotoAmerica.com. They're also on NBCSN. They're on MAV TV. There's recaps. There's so many ways that you can watch the races from our Moto America series and watch incredible racers like Cam Beaubier, Josh Herron, Jake Gagne, Matthew Skoltz. The list goes on and on. All of them incredible racers, and they are back doing what they know and love to do. That is racing. If you come out to the races, Moto America just builds an incredible event for you, the Open Race Paddock. You can take your kids down. It's a very family and friendly environment. You'll get autographs from the riders. There's VIP seating. There's camping. It's a lot of fun, and we encourage all of you listeners to come check out a race live. Moto America, fastest guys in North America on the fastest tracks in North America, and the fastest bikes in North America. It's a combination you just cannot beat. So please come out and check out a race live. We'd love to see you there. I myself will be at a number of races along with other members of the Pit Pass staff. Tommy Boy Halverson, you can catch him. He's usually in the pits. He's kind of a go-to for a bunch of racers. So come check us out as well at the track. We look forward to it. Now here's the latest news in the industry. As Dave and I discussed last week, we are supercrossing as well, and we've got a very accelerated schedule. We're going to have a total of 17 rounds this past week. Round 12 happened on Wednesday. Round 13 happened Sunday night. At round 12, Cooper Webb came out on top of Eli Tomac. They've been battling back and forth. Zach Osborne rounded out the podium there in the 450 class. In the 250 East class, you had Shane McElrath at round 12. That was Wednesday night. He took the win in the 250 East. Then you had Nichols coming in second and Jeremy Martin. Jeremy Martin coming in third. They've got quite a race going on. That Wednesday night race, of course, they are changing the track after every race they have there in Utah. They're staying in the same facility. For Sunday night's round three in the 450 mains, Eli Tomac comes out on top again over Cooper Webb, and Jason Anderson rounded out the podium. That brings points in the 450 class right now to Eli Tomac's favor. He is currently sitting on 301 with a 26-point advantage over Ken Roczen, with Cooper Webb narrowly behind Roczen. Roczen sitting at 275 points, Cooper at 269. Again, that was round 13. We've got four to go, 14, 15, 16, and 17. They'll be racing for two more weeks, Wednesdays and Sundays. So catch any of those races live on your preferred website for watching Supercross. They are absolutely getting it. It's anybody's race still, 26-point advantage to Eli, but anything can happen, as we know, in Supercross, so don't be surprised if Roczen or Webb give him another shot across the bow. In that 250 East class, at round 13, we had Chase Sexton come out on top with Shane McElrath coming second, and again, Colt Nichols rounding out the podium. That brings their season battle to an absolute head with four rounds to go. Chase Sexton currently sitting in the lead on 166 points, but Shane McElrath is on his tailpipe at 163, only 3 points back. Dylan Ferrandis sitting at 135. I wouldn't say it's over for him, but it looks like a battle between Chase and Shane. We hope they both stay healthy and are ready to race through the remaining four rounds. Can't wait to watch it. They are really duking it out. And we really hope that you watch some of that along with us. It's going to be an exciting end of the season. And as we all wait for the news about the upcoming outdoor season, we're waiting to hear from the organizing bodies exactly what's going to happen there. It sure looks like they're going to get a season going, and we can't wait to find out. This week's Pit Pass trivia question is, our sponsor, remember, Moto America, features five classes of road racing. Can you name all five classes? I know I can. We'll give you that answer after we talk to Cam Beaubier. Welcome to Pit Pass today. Reigning Moto America Superbike Champion, 2019 Superbike Champ, Cameron Beaubier. Welcome to the show, Cam. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. What's going on?
I am personally loving the fact that we've gone back racing. It really, for a time there, felt like we might never see another race. And so it was spectacular to see you and your buddies all going at it, hammer and tongs, up in Wisconsin. Can't wait for the next one. You, clearly, congratulations, did the double. Odd occurrence that weekend. I'm sure you realized it. Every single class, the winner was a double winner.
I didn't even realize that. Yeah, I'm right there with you, though, man. That's so nice to be back racing, be at the back of the track with my guys. We rode a week before Road America just to kind of shake the cobwebs off at Buttonwillow, just to test a couple things and ride a little bit to get ready for Road America. Yeah, it went great, man. But it was weird there for a while. Like we were so ready to go racing around the Barber test in March. And yeah, then all the Corona COVID stuff hit. And then I hadn't ridden in 2.5 months before Road America. And so luckily we got out to Buttonwillow, rode a little bit, shook everything down. And then, I mean, Road America couldn't have gone better. It was pretty amazing, really. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a spectacular event for you. One, two, I've never seen weather so good. And of course it happened because I wasn't there sleeping at the track. So not one drop of rain, nobody looking at their breath at the grid, things that we've come to expect from Road America, right? And it just looked perfect.
It was like, yeah, like you said, you can't get better conditions than what we had. You know, it was 60, 70 degrees and sunny. And normally like you're biting your fingertips, like trying to like, hoping it doesn't rain. Cause that track's a little hairy in the rain, you know, just with some old, like the old surface there, it's pretty slick and stuff like that. But yeah, it was awesome. It was weird being there too, with no fans or anything like that. At the same time, it was kind of cool. Cause it just took the pressure off everything. And it was like, it was almost just like it was a big test, you know, and we were doing like a race simulation. It was weird. It was just so cool to be back racing and be back with all the Yamaha guys, Yamaha Tech guys, and everyone in Moto America, some of my friends and stuff. It was good.
Clearly, you've got the lion's share of points. You've got a commanding lead at this very moment. And one could argue, there's a bunch of fast guys behind you. We all know this, Skoltz, Gagne, Heron, and more, to say nothing of Tony Elias, who had an uncharacteristically horrible day for him. I mean, that doesn't happen where, you know, he has two unfortunate DNFs. No one wishes this on, I know you don't, you know, you want to race against the best guys, and Elias certainly is one of them, as the others I've mentioned. But that was weird, you know, it's just a weird start to the season.
Yeah, it was kind of uncharacteristic. At least, yeah, start to the season for me too, because normally I'm just looking at my track record the last few seasons, four seasons or so, like I've had a pretty bad start to the season, and then I'm trying to claw back points the rest of the year. And so, yeah, to come out of there with two wins, like, I was just like so just happy and relieved. And obviously, I mean, I'm feeling really good on my bike, and my bike feels good. The crew's working awesome. Everything's going good. And so I don't want to get too excited. I just want to keep the ball rolling. You know, it was pretty crazy, you know, having Tony's come out swinging the past few years, and just as soon as he got over here, really, like, I remember he won the first two rounds at COTA, did it the next year, same thing. It is kind of nice to start out off on the front foot. And we're going back there, but the thing is too, like, those guys started getting faster and faster throughout the whole weekend, so we'll see how it goes next round there. But like I said, man, my attack, Yamaha, is working so good right now. It's pretty, I mean, I remember last year when they went from a factory team to attack and Yamaha partnering, like, everyone was a little worried about it, but I honestly think it was a blessing in disguise. My bike, like, just the knowledge that Richard has built up, like, throughout the years with Attack, and then all the knowledge that Yamaha has, they pieced everything together, and it's really like the best of both worlds right now. So yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Richard Stamboli, you referred to, the owner of Attack Racing. You can't find a more knowledgeable or passionate about racing a guy in the paddock. I mean, there's a bunch of them. There's a lot of guys like him, but he is certainly one of them. You can't find someone more enthusiastic than him. So it's got to be awesome working with, around, for him. I can only imagine. And you were talking about your previous years when you maybe didn't come out of the gate so fast as you did this past weekend. Last year being one of them, you had to fight for last year's title. I mean, it was a long road there. You had a pretty significant points deficit mid-season, one would say, against a really strong Tony Elias, and you battled all the way to the end and came out on top. So you like your odds with a lead, or do you think you've done better because you're chasing?
Yeah, like I said, it's just, I mean, I feel really good, and everything went really good at the first round, but I mean, anything can change at a split second. I just want to just keep it rolling, not get too excited and not get too confident. Just go race by race, you know. I feel like I do the best when I just think short term, just think about making the most out of each weekend and see where you're stacked up at the end, and then start worrying about it at the end. But it's too way too early to start thinking championship right now. I'm just going to keep my head down, keep doing what I'm doing, and hopefully everything falls into place. But yeah,
you're on four titles, so you've got you're in rarefied air, my friend. There's only one guy with more than you, right?
That is pretty weird to think about, to be honest. It's a pretty big gap, but a few years ago, I'd be scratching my head at what we've been able to accomplish with Yamaha and stuff. It's pretty cool. That's for sure.
You'd mentioned Garrett Gerloff, your former teammate. You guys pushing each other to new heights as far as performance goes, and it was clear that was happening. Some of the best battles we saw last year were you versus your teammate, oftentimes. So, I mean, are you missing that guy, or is it just another year of work?
Yeah, it's just another. I mean, same goal, just kind of different, like, new chapter type of thing. But definitely, like I was saying, I kind of slowed down there a little bit mid-season, like, just a couple little things we were struggling with, and I lost a little confidence, and then Garrett started coming on pretty strong. He won that race at Laguna, and it kind of unlocked him, and he got a couple more race wins throughout the season. I mean, it was tough, but at the same time, like, it kind of kicked my butt into gear, and we started just winning, me and him. It was like we started winning races. It was either him or me throughout the rest of the season. And going into Barber, like, I had, when I crashed at Sonoma, the first race, I was like, man, like, I pretty much kissed this championship or any kind of hope of this championship goodbye. Then the next day I just went out and rode free, and I won the race, and I just rode free. I felt really good on my bike, and it just, like, kind of, it was kind of a good reset for me. And then I came in and I realized Tony like he didn't finish the race. And I was like, huh, there's still a sniffing chance at it type of thing. Then we started rolling throughout the rest of the season. We get to Barber and all of a sudden, like, there's a chance, but it's a pretty slim chance. It's like I had to win both races and Tony had to finish like third or fourth or worst. To be honest, like I was like, man, like the last couple of years, Barber's been a pretty, not a tough track for us, but like the Suzuki's were pretty damn good there. And Tony's always been really good there. I think he won like, it was like three out of the four last races there. And I was like, man, it's going to be a tough weekend, but you know, we'll see what happens. And he was just a little off the pace all weekend and struggled a little bit. And like the Yamaha was working so good there. And Garrett and I were riding really good. And it just worked out. It was pretty crazy how it all worked out. But
well, looking back, that'll be one, I'm sure will be one of your favorite years to remember. But you are a young man and you have a lot more racing ahead of you, including this season. And I find it interesting that you are mentioning, even at the highest level, you know, I'm just have previously been a club racer, still do a fair number of track days, but I have favorite tracks. And I guess it shouldn't surprise me that racers do too, you know, ones that you feel, at least in your mind, favor you. But then it seems like half the time a guy will, when he wins at a track, will say, this is not my favorite place and I feel really lucky to get out of here with, you know, whatever I got, be it a win or something. Same in Supercross. You hear the same stuff, like guys say, I've never liked coming here and I won. Yay me, because it's not my favorite place.
That's kind of how I feel about Sonoma. It's it's kind of a sketchy track. It's bumpy but there is a little hidden flow there. It's pretty cool, but for some reason that track just clicks with me, but it's definitely not my favorite track. That's for sure.
and so you have to go there and you have to start liking it because you're getting results there, which, you know, I can't argue with results, right? That's the end of the day. That's all exactly. Any racer cares about.
Exactly. Exactly.
What do you got planned for the rest of the season? I mean, are you guys anything out of the ordinary now that we have an actual season schedule announced and you know roughly what's going to happen and when? Is it going to be business as usual? Are there still adjustments being made given our current pandemic reality?
I think we're still, I don't think all the rounds are confirmed yet, but they're on the calendar. And I think we're just kind of going to go with the flow and kind of see what's going to happen type of thing. But I am pretty excited. We're going to a new track this year, Ridge. It looks like a really cool track. It looks kind of twisty like Pittsburgh is, through the trees up there in Washington. And I think we're testing there next month. So I'm pretty excited to see how that track is and just to have another West Coast round. And yeah, and then I think, man, we might be racing till like November.
It looks that way.
The way the calendar is working. So that's going to be, it's going to be pretty crazy. But I remember last year in November, I had my feet up on the beach in Hawaii for the first time. So it might be a little different, but I'm just excited we're back racing. And if we have to race in November, like I'm all for it. It is what it is. And it's the same for everybody. I'm definitely ready for all this stuff to be done and get back to normal.
Yeah, we all are. And the hidden silver lining in the cloud, let's say, has been discussed by pundits like myself. And I, of course, work in the motorcycle industry. I'm a service manager at a multi-line dealership in the Midwest. So we're always talking motorcycles, motorcycle business. It seems like more people are aware of motorcycle racing and motorcycles in general. My dealership has sold out of a lot of things. You can't buy a kid's mini bike anywhere in the country that I'm aware of. You can't get one.
That's crazy.
They're not available.
That's how it is here too, up here in Northern California. I'm super close with Roseville Motorsports, the owner Sean, and my girlfriend's his assistant. She's telling me like they're completely sold out of 110s. There's no, and all this 110 craze is kind of coming back. They've had some of the best months they've ever had, like the last couple months.
Which is same here.
Crazy with all this stuff happening.
We sold more in the month of May than we had ever sold ever. So it was one of the biggest months on record for our dealership. And Yeah, we're going to run out of inventory, sadly. I didn't believe it was possible. We're a KTM dealer, too, and we had those things. We've got mezzanines. We've got them stuffed in the rafters, and every time I go to the rafters, I'm like, there's nothing in the rafters. It's, you know, there's a bike or two. It's empty. It's just really weird that, but great news. Again, I think this is a positive thing for the motorcycle industry. More people on two-wheelers means more people want to know about two-wheelers, and they end up wanting to watch racing, you know, and yay, you guys were the only pro sport to note that was happening when it happened at Road America, and I think you got a lot more coverage for it. Does it feel that way to you guys?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It was cool because not only, I mean, we were on Fox Sports 2 Saturday and then Fox Sports 1 on Sunday, and we led in for the NASCAR race, and I think that was really, really huge for our sport. I know that the numbers are up huge for Moto America this year, but not only that, we were on Eurosport as well. It was pretty cool. Like some racers that I grew up racing with over in Europe, they were kind of giving me some shout outs on Instagram and stuff like that, and you could see they're watching the race on Eurosport, and I think that's really, really good, really, really good for racing here in America.
And for you racers, you know, it brings up our series and every racer in it. And maybe someday opens a door to a ride in Europe to go do something else. You know, if a rider wants to, like your former teammate, Garrett Gerloff, who's now racing World Superbike, or at least we hope we'll be racing World Superbike.
Yeah, exactly. They got one race in. I mean, it's a start.
it is a start. Europe, you know, everywhere's different. It's just strange times we're living in, Cam, and it really does my heart good to know you guys are out there racing. I can't wait to come watch you guys live and in person. I'm looking forward to that Indy race, Indy being back on the calendar. I'm really hoping that gets scheduled or gets nailed down because I really want to go to that one. That's a fun one to attend.
I miss that track too. That's a pretty cool place just to go as a racer. The track, and then just like you get to go eat downtown at night and go watch hopefully the flat track and stuff like that. Like, that's pretty cool. That's a fun weekend for sure.
Yeah, Indianapolis knows how to, I always give them props, but the city knows how to hold a race. I mean, they really
they
take it on. They make fans and competitors alike feel like they're family. I mean, that's the vibe that you get everywhere you go in Indy. So again, my fingers are crossed that one goes off without a hitch and we actually get to go there and hang out and camp and do all the other cool stuff that's fun at racetracks. I'm sure you guys are looking forward to it too. Cam, we're nearing the end, and I want to give you a chance to thank any of the people that have been important to you this year, last year, any year. Thank your sponsors, your family, your friends, whoever you want. And we want to say thank you for joining us too on Pit Pass.
I mean, there's a long, long list of people that have helped me along the way. But firstly, Monster Attack Yamaha, and, you know, especially Yamaha, they really just brought me in the family back in 2011. When I signed my contract going into 12 on a 600, and I had a couple injuries there at the beginning, and they stuck with me, and we've been able to win a lot of championships together and do a lot of great, you know, amazing stuff. And I met some great people along the way. You know, Rick Hobbs, he just retired at the end of last season. And like I said, we were able to send him off on top with a championship. That made me feel really good. I'm going to miss that guy. And obviously my family, my parents, and my aunt and uncles and grandparents, all of them, they've always supported me and helped me along the way. And my girlfriend Shelby, there's a long list of people. Definitely very thankful for everything I have and been able to do with twisting the throttle for a living, and hope to keep it going.
Thank you again, Cam Beaubier, reigning 2019 Moto America Superbike champion and currently the points leader of same said series. Cam, we wish you the best, and I can't wait to see you at the track, man. That was quite a show you put on at Road America, and I look forward to the next one.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on.
This week's Pit Pass trivia question was, our sponsor, Moto America, features 5 classes of road racing. Can you name all 5 classes? And the answer is, you got the Superbike class, Cam Beaubier is the reigning champ, and we just got done talking to him. You have the Stock 1000 class, which is a slightly less performance, lower performance 1000, but very much the same bikes. Super Sport, which is your 600 class. You have the Twins class, which is Twins Cup. Those are SV650s and MT07s and the like. And then you have the Liqui-Moly Junior Cup, which covers a range of bikes from most of the manufacturers, Ninja 400s, Yamaha R3s, KTM 390s. Those are all eligible bikes in the class, CBR, things of that nature. That's for the younger guys. Those are the five classes. So if you knew all of them, congrats to you. In upcoming news, of course, we have the remaining four rounds of the Supercross season. Can't wait to see who comes out on top. It's Tomac right now, but four races leaves plenty of points on the table. Additionally, in upcoming news, I want to remind everyone that 3 years ago, right about now, at the Baja 500, a little team from Iowa, sponsored and led by Bart Hicklin and Billy Mallory of Mallory Law, took a Yamaha 450 motorcycle to the Baja 500 race with an Iowa-born rider, Tony Wink, out of Winterset, former host of Pit Pass Moto. We went down there and we railed it, a five-rider team, quite a large group of us. We won the Pro 30 class of the Baja 500 3 years ago now. Shout out to the race winner, Tony Wink. You're the man still. Shout out to my boss and friends, Bart Hicklin and Billy Mallory, for putting it all together and taking me along for the ride. I had a blast and it was so cool. I would have never thought we would win, and we did. It was an epic event, and that segues nicely into the Baja 500, which should be going on historically right about now. Has been rescheduled like so many other races. It is now scheduled to be held July 14th through the 19th down in Ensenada, California. That's where the starting line is anyway. The Baja 500, July 14th through 19th. The other two races in that SCORE Baja series, of course, are the San Felipe 250, which has been rescheduled to September 22 through 27. That is the San Felipe 250. And then the granddaddy of them all, the Baja 1,000-mile race, is now going to be held November 17th through November 22. So if you've never been to one, never seen one, maybe you want to compete in one, get down there. Go check it out. The Baja Peninsula is absolutely gorgeous. Mexico is a wonderful place to spend any day, if you ask me. And you can see some really fast dudes getting it out in the desert. So go check that out or check it out online. They've got some great coverage. And there's a lot of great videos from years past. Some of the racers that have won this deal are just no less than legends. And Tony Wink is now amongst them. We want to thank again our guest, Cam Beaubier, for joining us today. Double race winner from Road America and reigning Superbike champ. It's a good day to be Cam Beaubier right now. And I also want to thank you personally for listening to us today. It's really been a pleasure talking to you about motorcycles. It's what we love here at Pit Pass. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app where you'll get alerts when new episodes are uploaded. And if you have a moment, please take it and rate and review our performance. We really appreciate it. That lets us know we're doing what you want us to do. Make sure you're also following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, as well as pitpassmoto.com, where you can check out our all-new blog. This has been a production of Evergreen Podcasts. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Halverson, Chris Bishop, our producer Leah Longbreak, and audio engineer Eric Coltnow. I'm PJ Doran. We'll see you next week. Keep the rubber side down.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. they are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.